The scripture reading today comes to us from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, 8, 11, 12, 18 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also.
Our communal prayer this morning brought to us a simple reminder of God's only expectation for all of humanity, and that is to love. To love. That's all we're called to do. Or as one of my favorite Christian singing groups put it 2 decades ago, love is not love until you give it away. So why not reconsider what it means for us and the people we hold close to our hearts? To love sounds so easy, easily embodied, but we know the truth. We know from time to time, at points in our life, experiences we encounter, we need to be refreshed and renewed and reminded of the love that is in us and the love that we are charged to give. One of my favorite mentors, she's notorious for giving feedback. She calls it her calling. She's very proud of her ability to say what is on her heart and how it might encourage and help change your path. She can be encouraging, she can be corrective, she can be redirecting, she can be one to provide just the right question at the right moment. And one of my favorite things she says is, Roderick, this feedback that I'm going to give you, I want you to receive it with love. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it is. See, she's saying, I'm going to criticize you with love. I'm going to give you ideas for improvement with love. I'm going to tell you how you might reset and reconfigure your path. And it might be a little stingy, but with love. I think our God is like that. I think our scripture this morning in 1 John chapter 4 speaks to that. For as much as we are loved and as much as we are created by the one that created love, yet still we are called to remember, to renew, and to recommit ourselves to a life of love. Amen?
Amen.
And it starts with thinking about the place from whence it comes. And that is a loving, inclusive, wonderful God. So we start this morning by thinking simply about God's love.
God's grace that's brought us through.
Agape. Agape. It's the verb form agapao from the Greek that stands for love. And we also know there are other meanings or sayings such as phileo, which means brotherly love, or eros, erotic love. The Greeks spoke of this kind of love that encompasses all loves, the love from our God. But agape, or unconditional love, is kind of different from the others. It's not a feeling, it's a motivation for action that you can either accept or reject. That's the beauty of our existence as humanity. We get to decide to love or not to love. Agape, unconditional, sacrificial. And when I think about that word agape, a few words come to mind. It simply means to me that I am willing to be discomforted for your comfort. I'm willing to be just a little irritated if it's going to benefit you. I'm willing, willing, I'm willing to even sacrifice what I have planned for my day simply to enrich you. Agape, unconditional, sacrificial. And I believe that it is Christ's example of how he served his God and how he served us through his life and his death and his resurrection that shows us the way to agape living, what it truly means to sacrifice. And what better way to agape love in our lives than through our friendships? One of my closest friends, she and I were talking not more than 2 weeks ago, and she said, "You know what makes us best friends?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "No matter what happens, no matter when I might call or text or tweet you, you always ask, what can I do? How can I help?" That's how I know, Roderick, that we'll always be inseparable, even when you do get married. You'll always be my friend. Friends, I think of real friendship, agape, as a kind of honoring. Honoring humanity, honoring those we hold so dear to us. I think of agape as a kind of confidence, a confidence in knowing that when you get ahead, so have I. I don't hear an amen up in here. I think of agape as a kind of intermingling of ideas, the idea that I'm not perfect, but with you together, we can somehow be perfected by putting all our stuff in this one basket. With billions of potential friends all around the world, every permutation presents a new experience, a new way of being, a different kind of food to eat, a different kind of song to which to dance. There's a sharing. There's a coming together. And yes, there's a giving, a reciprocity, a true agape, unconditional way of being. You see, friends are those that we hold so dear. They're the ones who can put up with our occasional foolishness and our at times drivel. Well, maybe just my drivel, maybe not your drivel, but definitely my drivel. Those who are with us along the treacherous path we call life. They are the ones who are the earth beneath our feet and the wind beneath our wings. We love them. Why? Because they're our friends.
When you're done, and you need a helping hand, and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest nights. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come.
Ancient Greeks called it the madness of the gods. Modern psychologists define it as the strong desire that one person has for another. What actually is romantic love? That has been the question that we've posed for ourselves for millennia. What exactly is it? And it means so many different things to many people. And I suppose, Fairview, that that's the key to fully understanding love, realizing that we can't. Romantic love, songwriters have described it as wherever you're near and whenever you're near, I hear a symphony. Shakespeare, love is blind and lovers cannot see. Aristotle, love is composed of a single unit composed of two bodies. We're all trying to get it. We're all trying to grasp it. And whether it's called romantic love, obsessive love, passionate love, infatuation, women and men of every era and every culture have been affected by this irresistible power, this attraction, romantic love. And as I think about it, Fairview, I'm touched by the possibility that from birth, from the moment that we are born, we're actually searching for a light. We're actually searching for connection with someone else that can help us to get through this life. Someone to journey with us. Someone that will brighten our lives, brighten our days and nights. We're looking for that connection, providing us with purpose and meaning and making our struggles on this earth oh so worthwhile. Anyone been there before? Mm-hmm. Romantic love is a kind of powerful way to express our capacity to love and to be loved. I believe it's a way to focus our energy, our curiosity. It is a way to focus our desires for adventure. I mean, think about it in your own lives. Think about that romantic partner that maybe you shared time with, maybe you're still sharing time with now. You wanted to be where they were. You thought as they thought. Mood swings. Cravings. Separation anxiety. No one knows what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. Loss of appetite. Romantic love has this way of changing things, of resetting the tone, of shuffling the decks, of mixing up the chairs. And somehow through all of the changes and the back and forth and the hustles and bustles, somehow through all of that, love finds its way. The same desires that weigh on the heart of our God, the same cravings, the same romantic tendencies that wake our God up, that push our God for greater connection with us, we find crystallized in the form and the body of another. Hands, feet, breath. Romantic love, there's nothing like it, and there'll never be an equal.
Pa.
What's a family without a dog? That's like our mayor without a blog. You don't need to watch what you say. If you require help, you won't have to pay. A family can sometimes be a disease, an insane migraine that smells like cheese. I never knew what's the big deal, a bunch of people that eat the same meal? In the end, it's not that bad, as long as mom is not always mad. The trick is to laugh and to take this lightly. And if you need salt, ask for it, politely. Family. I like that poem by Anita Danicki. In a 2016 exhortation titled The Joy of Love, Pope Francis identified the family as the primary unit of society, the place where children ought to be nurtured and spouses ought to be taught and loved and self-giving. The welfare of the family, he says, is decisive for the future of the world and for the survival of the church. Pope Francis is reminding us that family policies ought to be all about the children, all about the progress and the advancement of families in our society. And where policy fails, where governments come up short, where leaders divide, the realm of God will remain a star shining bright in the darkness. And we need some light these days, don't we? Amen.
Amen.
Here's the point. All are welcome in the family of God. All of us are already card-carrying members of that vast expanse known as God's family. Women and men and of color, gay, straight, searching for God, immigrant, all have a seat at God's table. Think about our Jesus and how he journeyed through his life, his mission, how he touched lives, and how families helped him survive to the end of his days. That's how I see us. That's how I see the family of God, working and being so that none fall through the cracks, so that all are extended the hand of mercy and grace in our time. So let's not waver. Let's work together for the salvation and well-being of our communities. Let's do it for God's sake and for God's love. Let's do it so that all inherit the best of God's very best. Let us leave this place. Let us join this meal on the patio with three simple words in mind. We are family. Embrace that truth and walk with that love and change this world. Amen.
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 We are family. Can I side. We know what we don't, we address. We have it all. Our golden rule. Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong. Oh no, it's a golden rule.
We are family. I've got all my sisters with me.
Please join us in our closing song for this beautiful service of love. Shower the people.
Let's try that again.